one thing that Amazon has going for it compared to Google or Facebook is people entering something in the Amazon search box, they have an intent to buy or an intent to research a particular product. When they go to Google to do the same thing or to Facebook, they probably do not have the same intent. Google maybe is maybe a little bit better, but Facebook, people usually go there to talk with their friends, not to research products. So Amazon has that advantage.
That's today's guest, Ian Lamont of i30 Media, talking about Amazon marketing and how to use it to sell more of your books. We'll hear a lot more from Ian in just a few minutes. But first, I'd like to thank you all for streaming in and welcome you to the first podcast of Inside Independent Publishing from IBPA, the Independent Book Publishers Association. I'm an independent publisher and I'm your host, Peter Goodman. This podcast is part of IBPA's mission, which is to lead and serve the independent publishing community through advocacy, through education, and through tools for success. Now, since this is the very first program of Inside Independent Publishing, let me tell you what we're going to try to accomplish here. This podcast is for authors, it's for publishers, it's for author publishers, it's for hybrid publishers, it's for Big Five New York rich and fancy publishers, and it's for small publishers working off the grid in northern Alaska or the hills of Tennessee. Independent publishing is not a company description. It is a state of mind. So if you are independently minded and interested in book publishing, you're in the right place. Here are a couple things we want to achieve. First, we want to make you a smarter publisher by taking you inside publishing, giving you access to ideas and strategies and to the experiences of leaders in publishing today. Our interview subjects will be publishers and distributors, printers, typographers, or authors or bloggers and reviewers. Everyone's going to be welcome here. Second, we want to mix it up and get into discussions about what's happening in publishing today, for better or for worse. Is Amazon a good thing or a bad thing? Or is it just a thing that we all have to contend with? Where do the interests of you, the publisher, and the booksellers and distributors who sell your books meet? Where do they diverge? Can't we all be friends? Are people reading less than before or just reading differently? Are screens making us all stupid and illiterate? Well, let's hope not. Third, we really want to engage you with the future, with the world of books to be. Where's the industry going, and what do you and me and all of us need to do to get ready for it? This podcast is being made freely available to IBPA members and non-members alike because part of what IBPA demands for its own success as an association is that the rest of the world appreciate the contributions that independent publishers make and the struggles they go through to make them. If our civilization is to survive, our culture must survive, and nothing preserves, protects, and defends knowledge and civilization like the written word, whatever form or whatever data stream it comes in. Okay, that's the end of my meaty speech. I promise not to do that often. If you want to find out more about IBPA and how it can help you be a better publisher and sell more books, whatever kind of publisher you are, go to ibpa-online.org. Now, let's get started. The first thing I want to do on this podcast and all our podcasts is answer questions about publishing from IBPA members and others. We hope you're going to write in with your questions either to the IBPA website or by tweeting to @IBPA. If your question is selected, we'll read it on the air so that everyone can hear the answer. And helping us to do that is the IBPA office in Manhattan Beach in Southern California and Caitlin Walker, a member of the IBPA staff. She's on the line right now, so let's see what questions she's got for us today. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi. So we have some questions coming in. Our first one is from Kay Knott of Union Hill Publishing, and their question is about buying back publishing rights. So they ask, we recently bought back the publishing rights for one of our author's books. It has been on Amazon since 2013, and during that time has accumulated reviews and rankings. I got a new barcode, which will now reflect us as the publisher, and I'm ready to relist on Amazon. After speaking with someone at Amazon, he told me, since I had a new ISBN, the book will be treated as a new title and will not have the reviews and rankings. Should I care about the reviews and rankings? Is there a way to transfer the reviews?
And what kind of answers were you getting?
So for this one, we have a couple responses. The first one was from A. Bonner at Little Cab Press, and their response was, we had to cancel a title which had some reviews, and we didn't know if it was ever going to be available again. However, with some fresh artwork, we gave it a new ISBN, same title and author, and republished it. We didn't expect to keep the previous reviews, expected to start over, but Amazon, without us asking, recognized it from the previous version and replaced the old title with the new title, keeping all the reviews. I was pleasantly surprised. So we have a second response from Carla J., and she explains, I just won my rights back and was told that I would lose my 100-plus five-star reviews. I didn't on either book. So that was great news, and you should be fine as well.
Great. So that's good news for that publisher. What else you got?
We have a question from Temple E. Williams from Templeworks Properties. And Temple writes, if I upgrade a nonfiction medical memoir, adding many pages, changing the title and the cover, can I also update the copyright year to 2017 if I make it a new publication with a new ISBN, etc.? So Ruth Schwartz of My Book Midwife answers, absolutely. It is a new book with a new ISBN. The only relationship to the nonfiction book is you possibly listing the earlier book on a page inside this new one.
And one thing I will say is that if an older book is listed with a new ISBN, that really gives you an excuse to go out and resell it all over again to bookstores and other places that haven't seen it yet. You can present it pretty much as a new book to them. So it's a good way to breathe life into an old publication is to add maybe between 10 to 15, maybe 20% of new content, new cover, etc., and then reissue the book under a new ISBN. Anything else, Caitlin?
Yeah, we have one more question from Monica Allman of Zion Publishing House. She was asking, we are looking for an editing certification course or event. Any suggestions? Our CEO, Angela Bull, answers, great question. UCLA Extension is starting up an editing and publishing certificate program. You can see the courses they have online at www.uclaextension.edu. Just to repeat that URL, it's www.uclaextension.edu. And Angela also mentioned you can sign up for copy editing and developmental editing. Copy editing can be taken online, and developmental editing is a classroom course. So eventually, you'll be able to string these two courses with a few others for a certificate in editing and publishing.
Well, that's great. I know a lot of people are getting into publishing from a non-editorial career path and could really benefit by learning rules of proofreading, developmental editing, and if nothing else, you at least learn to work with professional proofreaders and editors who you may have to hire at some point. Well, thank you very much, Caitlin. We'll talk to you next time, okay?
Thank you so much, Peter.
Now, if any of you have a question for me or anyone at IBPA, just contact us on the IBPA website, which is ibpa-online.org, or message us on Twitter using the handle @IBPA. Be sure to put the word podcast in the message so your question gets to the right place. I'd like to welcome today Ian Lamont of i30 Media. He's an award-winning technology journalist, author, and publisher. He is the founder of i30 Media Corp and also the In 30 Minute Guides, which you can go to and see at in30minutes.com. I know Ian through IBPA. He's a director and treasurer of the Independent Book Publishers Association and also serves on IBPA's executive committee. He has various books out, and they include Twitter in 30 Minutes and Lean Media, How to Focus Creativity, Streamline Production, and Create Media That Audiences Love. Ian is in Boston, and I'm on the West Coast. I think we have very different weather systems that we're enjoying today, but I'd like to welcome him. Thank you for coming, Ian.
Peter, thanks for having me on the show. It's great to be here.
We are today going to talk about Amazon, and Amazon is a gigantic subject, so we're focusing a little bit on Amazon marketing, which I had not heard about at all until you told me about it last year, and you were raving about the kind of successes that you were having. Subsequent to that, I went online and looked at Amazon marketing services, and I was rather overwhelmed by a lot of the material that they provide. There's a lot to wade through. It's a little hard to figure out for beginners like me who haven't done a lot of online marketing, so I'm hoping you can help everybody else figure out what Amazon marketing is and how best to use it. So let's start right there. What is Amazon marketing, and who uses it, and why should they use it?
So Amazon Marketing Services is a self-service advertising platform, and it's designed for publishers or people selling any other type of product on Amazon to use to place kind of little pictures of their products and information about their products on the pages that Amazon visits. So For instance, if you search for MBA on Amazon, you'll get a page of results relating to books about going to business school or maybe the GMAT. And some of those listings there, they are the organic search results on Amazon. That is, Amazon has this giant database of books about MBAs and GMATs and things like that. And then when you search for a certain term, it'll display them in the order of popularity or some other magical sauce that Amazon creates to make that algorithm work. The problem is, what if you're on the fifth page of results? Maybe no one's going to see that particular page. So what Amazon now provides is an advertising service which lets you create an advertisement that may show up when someone searches for a term that you want or looks at another product that's related to what you're selling.
So the key there is may show up. And I guess the idea is that you try and manage the system, use a strategy so that it's more likely it'll show up. Is that right?
Exactly. And that's a combination of several factors. One of them is how much you're willing to spend or how much you're willing to bid on a particular keyword. So for instance, if I'm bidding for MBA and then Wiley Publishing is bidding for MBA, if they're kind of providing a higher level bid range, that is maybe they're paying up to $1 for somebody to click on their particular ad and I'm only bidding 50 cents, their advertisements are more likely to show up. So that's one consideration. But the other consideration is, of course, what the book is. So if your book is very professionally made, has a kind of a catchy cover, maybe a really killer title to it, that might perform better too. Because sometimes these advertisements, they show up side by side.
So when you say it might perform better, were you suggesting that Amazon is it somehow looking at the cover and saying, oh, that's a better cover than this one, we're going to show it first? Or is it all...
Yeah, so Amazon's artificial intelligence isn't that good yet. It's not making those types of decisions. Although that wouldn't surprise me someday that algorithms have some ability to qualitatively assess something like the effectiveness of a cover or a headline. But what they can do is there's a couple different types of ads that Amazon provides, and two ad types, specifically sponsored products and product display, they will show advertisements next to each other or one above the other. And that is, people may see competing products right next to each other that are sponsored, and then the user can click on whichever one he or she prefers to check out. And if your cover is more professionally done, or you have a catchier title, or maybe the price is better, that will lead more people to click on that advertisement compared to clicking on the competing advertisement.
And that would be the case even if, say, you bid less than your competitor. They might both show up in the same space.
That's right. It kind of depends on how many people are bidding on that particular keyword, you know, how much they're bidding for. So if it's not a popular keyword, maybe it's only two books bidding for that spot, maybe both of them will show up. But what I've seen is that for very competitive keywords and something like MBA or GMAT, those are competitive keywords. Lots of people are searching for books about going to business school or studying for the GMAT. So I do see Wiley showing up a lot in those particular searches because they have a budget that can support that type of campaign. But even someone who's small, like a small publisher, small independent publisher, such as myself, I can get some very effective results from using Amazon Marketing Service ads.
Keywords are important, and let's get to that a little bit later if we can. Speaking more generally, how difficult is it for someone who hasn't done a lot of these kinds of ads to set up?
If you've never done it before, it might be kind of tricky. But basically, one way to think about it is kind of like you're personalizing your Facebook profile or your Twitter profile. So you're choosing things like words that you want to put to describe yourself, like your profile description or your header photo. You're choosing assets like that from your computer and then kind of uploading them to Amazon. And Amazon tells you exactly what to do. Like, it'll say, all right, you need a headline for your ad, and it can be no longer than 50 characters. And you can't use exclamation points or other types of punctuation. All right, so you have to make a headline that fits that description and then type it in there. And actually, what I've done, because I usually create multiple advertisements for the same product, I have a Word document or a text document with some sample headlines that I could just copy and paste and plug right in there. And same for the keywords. I have a list of keywords for all of the books that I advertise on. So for instance, we have a book called Crowdfunding Basics in 30 Minutes. So on that particular Word document, I have maybe about 20 or 30 keywords related to crowdfunding. So crowdfunding, Kickstarter, raising money, nonprofit fundraising, all of these types of keywords that I can just copy and paste right into the Amazon Marketing Services ad creation tool to basically complete things faster. And the good news is that there's basically, for creating a single ad, there's maybe 6 or 7 things you have to do, such as adding keywords or doing your daily budget or selecting a photo to upload. And, you know, once you do it once or twice, it gets easier to do.
Right. And they kind of walk you through it then to make it easier?
They do. But, you know, the first time you come there, because, of course, you've never seen this tool before and maybe there's unfamiliar terms, it will seem kind of daunting. But once you do it once or twice, it gets easier. And also, I want to add, on my YouTube channel, I've just started to post some videos explaining how to create an ad. And the first one I did, I actually posted it this morning. It's about creating a product display ad. And I basically create an ad in about 6 or 7 minutes showing how to do it. Basically go to in30minutes.com and then scroll to the bottom and click on the YouTube link and you can see what it looks like. Or just Google how to create an Amazon Marketing Services product display ad and you'll see lots of results that can help walk you through it.
That's great. I was looking at the literature that Amazon put out and they had drive sales with Amazon Marketing Services. Then they had 3 different types of ads: sponsored products, headline search ads, product display ads. If someone is looking at this page, how would they know which one would be the best one to pick?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And Amazon, they've made things worse by kind of using similar terminology to describe different things. So to give you an example, sponsored products and product display, I always get it mixed up myself. But basically, headline search ads are exactly what it sounds like. When you search for a term, it will show up at the very top of the page. Often it will have like 3 book spaces and then you can upload a picture or use a picture of one of the books. That's a headline search ad. Sponsored products are also on the search results page and they show up below the top level and it will say next to it. It'll say something like sponsored product or sponsored on Amazon or something like that. And then the product display ads, those are ones that show up when you actually visit someone's book. And let's say like you're visiting a Crowdfunding for Dummies. And if you scroll down, you'll see a bar of photos and it will say something like sponsored products related to this item. And, you know, maybe the book that we publish, Crowdfunding Basics in 30 Minutes, will show up there. So those are product display ads. And then there's another one called lock screen ads. And if you have a Kindle, sometimes it shows a picture of somebody else's book there. It's kind of like an advertisement. That's what those correspond to. But I have to say, I've experimented with the lock screen ads and they have not been that effective at all.
And obviously, Amazon, generous as it claims to be, is not necessarily generous, not doing this stuff for free. A lot of the stuff when they were starting out, of course, Amazon was giving a lot away their promotions. If you bought this, you know, if you like X, you like Y, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Those have kind of disappeared. If you do absolutely nothing in marketing, you can still sell your books on Amazon and they will continue to appear from time to time. But this basically drives eyeballs to your product where they might not end up otherwise. Is that right? And how much would someone expect to pay for this?
Basically, the Amazon Marketing Services ads, they're giving people an opportunity to put their books in front of people's eyeballs where otherwise they might not be able to see them. If you bought this, then you might like this. Those little carousels are still showing up. Oftentimes, they're below the product display ads. And of course, you know, on the search result pages, now at the top, it's almost always a sponsored product that shows up first. So in a way, that puts you at a disadvantage if you're not doing it. But it will still be possible to find your book, kind of depending on what you search for, or maybe if your book has been popular in a certain genre, it might show up on one of Amazon's lists. As for your question about how much they cost, it can vary quite a bit. So to give you an example, I track this stuff for my own company. In the first 2 weeks of January, I spent about $300 on Amazon ads, and it generated about more than $2,000 in sales. Now, I should add that the $2,000 in sales, that includes Amazon's cut as well. So it's not really what my company is netting at the end of the day. But I consider that if I'm like, let's say that I spend $50 on ads and I'm getting $100 back in profit, that's a really good thing for my company. So I really think that they can be very effective if you do them well. That being said, what might be happening over time is that as more and more people plow into this format, because it's really effective compared to Facebook or Google. First of all, the cost of the ads will start to go up, and then also maybe the results will start to go down. So I'd say if this is something that you've thought about, I get started on it soon rather than later, because I think over time, you know, the return on investment may get less and less as more people pile into it.
And are you willing to claim that a lot of these sales that you're getting now, you would not have gotten had you not invested in Amazon marketing?
That's a really good question. And actually, it's a mixed picture, because I have one book product. It's Google Drive and Docs in 30 minutes. It's like the biggest book in its category. There really isn't any other competition. And I think that even if I didn't run the ads, it would still show up at the top of the organic search results and people would find it. In that case, I think probably it's not as effective for that particular, I mean, I'm spending money on them, but I probably would get a lot of those sales anyways. But for other titles where there's a lot of competition, you know, we have books on things like Twitter and LinkedIn and how to use Excel. These ads, they put them on the first page of search results, which is a huge thing. Because, for instance, the Excel books, if you search for like Excel book on Amazon, there's probably more than 100 titles out there. And organically, I might not show up on the first page. But these headline ads and these sponsored product ads, they help put me there and get me a little bit more attention. And sales for that particular title have definitely gone up since I started using this program.
When you're trying to decide how much to bid and what kind of keywords to use, I guess at this point you've got quite a bit of experience doing what you're doing, but did you initially start just sort of doing it from your gut? Or were there any kind of tools or research that made it a little easier for you to figure out what to do and what decisions to make?
Well, some of it is by my gut. And for instance, I know that if people are searching for a book about Excel, they're probably entering terms like Excel 2016 or Excel book or something like that. But there's a great tool that you can access for free to help fill out that keyword list. And that's Amazon Search Engine. If you start to type in a term like Excel, right below the search bar, it'll autofill some of the popular titles in that area. So I'm going to do it right now. So I'm going to type in Excel and see what comes up. So the first one is Excel for Dummies, and then Excel 2016, Excel VBA Programming, all these different titles. And you can use competing titles, by the way, as a keyword. It's okay to do that, but people can also do that to you too. I know this happens for my books because sometimes I'll search for one of my titles on Amazon and I'll see a sponsored product for something else. And what's happened is these other publishers are using my titles as keywords, probably because, you know, some of the titles are selling pretty well.
I guess you should be flattered at that kind of attention then, right?
Yeah, it is kind of flattering in a way.
Yeah. Well, no one's ever shoplifted my book. There must be something wrong with it, right? You had mentioned Facebook and Google. You know, some people, they just hate Amazon, you know, and they wish that Amazon weren't there. And so they don't spend a lot of time, or they try not to give any additional business to Amazon if they don't have to. And so maybe they are spending more time on Facebook and Google, but you don't think that they're anywhere near as effective, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And one thing that Amazon has going for it compared to Google or Facebook is people entering something in the Amazon search box, they have an intent to buy or an intent to research a particular product. When they go to Google to do the same thing or to Facebook, they probably do not have the same intent. Google maybe is maybe a little bit better, but Facebook, people usually go there to talk with their friends, not to research products. So Amazon has that advantage. And I've also found that Facebook and Google's self-serve ad platforms, they can be difficult to use. And they can be frustrating. Sometimes you get these weird error messages or alerts or warnings that don't make any sense. And the results, frankly, at least for me, have not been that great. So I've dipped my toe in the water several times for Facebook ads for in 30 minutes guides, as well as Google AdWords program, but I just haven't seen great results. So Amazon for me is much more effective.
If you ever have any trouble with Amazon, do you ever have an opportunity to talk to a human being?
That's a really good question, because I think recently Amazon has actually outsourced more and more of its customer service requests, not to human beings, but to some artificial intelligence bot that kind of gives canned responses to whatever you may ask of them. And that can be really frustrating sometimes. That said, usually, you know, if you get something that's a canned response or it looks like they didn't understand what your question was, you can ask them again and you can get a response and hopefully get an answer that you like, but there's no guarantees. Amazon is, they can afford to be tough. There's not many other places for independent publishers to get these types of results. Some of their attitudes and policies reflect that.
Have the prices gone up since you started using it?
Yeah, so I have seen the prices go up. And actually, Amazon provides a number. It's called ACOS, which stands for average cost of sale. And it's reflected as a percentage. So for instance, you spend X and then sales on Amazon's are Y, then average cost of sales is X over Y. And so just looking back, you know, even to, let's see here, this is in September, Amazon claims its average cost of sales was about 14.6%. But the latest figure that I have for the first half of January, it's 16.5%. And it's been kind of gradually creeping up since I started using it. I think it started out like at around 11%. And what's happening is more and more people are getting into it and the average bid levels are going up and that's increasing costs. And at some point, it may become like Google AdWords, where Google AdWords, when it first started, it was really cheap. You know, you could get clicks for 10 cents. Nowadays, it's really hard to get anything less than a dollar. And Amazon might be headed in that direction. And if it reaches a point where my average cost of sale or I have a special figure that I use called average cost of net, if that's getting to be too high, I might just say this isn't worth it anymore, and I'll have to find something else to boost sales on Amazon.
So, finding something else, what else is there? Amazon seems to be owning more and more of the sales spaces that all of us live in now.
Peter, you're depressing me, but it's true. I mean, Amazon has this, I don't want to call it a monopoly because it's still possible to sell books through other sources, but those other sources are getting smaller and smaller while Amazon seems to be getting bigger and bigger. And the other thing that I see, unfortunately, is a lot of the potential contenders, even products and platforms that used to be superior to Amazon in many respects, they don't seem to really have their A game on, and they don't really spend enough time on developing marketing services or programs or ways of interacting with customers that are make it worth publishers' while to spend time on it. So for instance, Apple, they have this iBooks platform. I don't think they have anything like this, like a marketing service that I could use to, you know, get my books higher up in the search results.
I've never seen it. Yeah. To kind of sum up, since we're living with Amazon for the foreseeable future, how could this Amazon marketing services be improved? Are there any things that they could do better that you'd like to suggest to Jeff Bezos, who I know is listening?
I think that they need to make the service a little bit easier to use to get started with. And also, I think that their reporting should be a little bit more transparent about what the results people are getting. So for instance, I just mentioned that Amazon uses this figure called average cost of sales to show like how effective it is. But the problem with that figure is it's including Amazon's cut and it's not really reflecting what you, the publisher, are getting back. So I think that's a little bit misleading. So I think that's the reporting could be more transparent in that particular respect. I think that for people that have never done this before, there's some really tricky things about using these self-serve ad platforms, which can result in inexperienced people losing a lot of money quickly. And one of them, for example, is you can set a daily budget, and then by default, Amazon will just keep the ad running forever. So if you're not paying attention to that, and you have like a daily budget of $10 and you're spending $10 and it's using up the budget every day, you know, at the end of the year, that could be a really significant cost. And if you're not evaluating that against the return, that can be really tricky. So Amazon, I think they should not put that as the default. And incidentally, Facebook and Google do the exact same thing. They just leave that kind of the length of the campaign open. And a lot of people, including me, we've spent more than we expected if we're not careful about keeping on top of those numbers. So I think that's a tricky thing too. But overall, I think this is an opportunity for smaller publishers to actually get their books and maybe some of their backlist to show up in places where it might not otherwise show up and start to generate some sales. And it's not hard to start experimenting with a few simple campaigns and, you know, low daily budgets just to see what happens and to see if it works for you. And if it does, you can scale it up. And if it doesn't, you can take your money elsewhere.
Thanks very much for all these tips, Ian. If someone wants to find out more about Amazon Marketing Services, where's the best place to go?
I think actually there's more and more videos that are coming online, kind of show how to create ads. But there's also some people out there that have published books about using Amazon Marketing Services. And I think I do a little research on Amazon to see what people are saying about the books or if the table of contents looks like it's relevant for you. And it's a small, these books are usually small investments, you know, no more than $10 or $15. And that might give you some insights into how to use it effectively and to start some campaigns to see if it can work for you.
Well, thank you very much. We've been talking to Ian Lamont. If you want to find out more about Ian and what he does and also check out that YouTube video that he mentioned, go to, I think I got this right, in30minutes.com. Is that right?
That's correct, Peter.
Very good. Well, thank you, Ian Lamont. We appreciate you coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Before we say goodbye, I just want to mention that a lot's going on at IBPA at the moment, especially preparations for IBPA Publishing University. PubU, as we call it, is IBPA's annual publishing event. It's full of networking, workshops, great speakers, and this year, all the fun and attractions you get from being in Austin, Texas. So come on down. Dates are April 6 to 7. For more information, go to www.publishinguniversity.org. Space is limited, and since this is a once-in-a-year event, don't miss out. And if you do miss out, well, come next year. If you're already a member of IBPA, we appreciate your support, and be sure and let us hear from you. If you'd like to learn more about IBPA or are considering joining, check out the IBPA website at ibpa-online.org. Oh, and one last thing. On this program and subsequent broadcasts, you'll be hearing a diversity of opinions. Mine, the guests, people who answer letters. IBPA is proud to provide this forum for discussion and wants to remind everyone that the opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the participants and not necessarily those of IBPA. Thanks for listening to Inside Independent Publishing. Keep your nose in that book. And as my bosses in Japan used to say, let's have publishing fun.